Greetings to each of you this morning. Good to see all of you here as we continue our worship service together. Today you can turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to go there. We're going to go to Psalm 100 as well, probably first. But as I was thinking and meditating on it for a sermon for today, my mind this week went back to my childhood. I don't know if you, and that may be telling on as we get older. They say that you can remember more things about what happened when you were young than when you can yesterday. I don't know if you find that, Jonas, that way or not. But and so with a reunion coming up next weekend and expecting to see a lot of people reconnecting with those I haven't seen for a while, and it's just I look forward to that. And then with that, my mind wandered back, like I said, to my childhood and thinking sometimes I wish I could go back there. And I know some of you have made the statement you're glad or you wouldn't want to go back to your childhood. And I understand that. And there are obvious things in my childhood as well that I don't remember, and I'm glad I don't, and things I wish I could forget. But there are a lot of good positive things that I think of, that I remember, that life was just a little bit more simple. I think of that song, and I don't know all the words, but it talks about just making a living out of the black sand dirt. And I think that's probably what that writer was thinking of. He was reminiscing of the past, of how life was. I realize we can't live in the past. And I know that some of you would say, no, you don't have a lot of good memories of your childhood. You wouldn't even want to go back or think about that. And so it's different for each one of us, and I understand that. The circumstances we grew up in and so on. And I'm not wanting to paint a picture that my childhood and our family was all perfect and all good. It wasn't. But I'm glad I can think of a lot of positive memories that stood out in my life and I think helped develop who I am. And what you have experienced in your life has helped develop who you are as well. What does that have to do with the sermon? And I titled this Expressions of a Grateful Person. And so it might fit in a little bit. But anyway, in thinking of that, then I thought of the children of Israel and their lives. When they left Egypt in their journey and they found themselves in the wilderness and found themselves in hard times, and then what they did, and their complainings and murmurings and so on, and we'll get to that. Maybe I should do that first, because this other will sort of take away from that. So I'll talk about that now. The complaints of the children of Israel. If you go back to Exodus 16, 1-4, I'm not going to turn to that because of time, but I think the King James says they murmured because they were out there a month and a half into their journey, into the wilderness, and they were already complaining about, we don't have bread. We would like to have bread to eat like we had in Egypt. And so God worked all that out for them. And then in chapter 17, verses 2 through 6, it says that they chided Moses, and the dictionary says that's an abnormal complaint, or they just basically grumbled. I don't know if you're like a grumbler. Probably some of your parents would say you have children that grumble. I know that my parents could have said that I grumbled. When it was time to go out and weed the garden, and the garden and the rows look from here to wherever into the distance, and it was warm, we thought it was hot, but in comparison to yesterday, it wouldn't have been too bad. But as a young boy, that was not something I wanted to do or enjoyed. So I can just imagine, and I'm sure I did. I grumbled. I didn't want to do that. And probably you have some children that grumble when they're asked to do something. And so as a parent, as an adult, it's like, just get over it. It's got to be done, you do it. It's like Jesse said, you got to do something, you do it. But as a child, you don't always see it that way. But as the children of Israel, as they remembered what they had, forgetting what they had a lot of hard labor, a lot of hard work, a lot of rough, unsympathetic taskmasters that were making them work, slave labor that was very hard and difficult, hour upon hour. If they slacked, the master would come up and whip them, make them work harder. Then they took away the supplies that they had been furnished. They had to supply their own supplies on top of whatever and still keep up their own quota. But how quickly they forgot that. And they were thinking about their stomach, what they didn't have to eat. And it displeased God. And if you read that, you can see what God did. In a couple of instances, it was very severe. And at one point, I forget which story there, but God sent the group, the crowd was together, and God sent a fire, and he destroyed those that were on the outer circle of the fire. And it wasn't long after that they went to complaining again, because God, Moses, you led us out here into the wilderness. Now we have no water. We want water. We need water. Our cattle are going to die, and we're going to die here in the wilderness. We just as well would have stayed in Egypt. We had water, and we had all these other things. Then you go to Numbers 11, and there again, there's a numerous verses there, and I should turn to that, but I'm not going to. Read that sometime. It's a good reminder again. They complained. This time they wanted meat. And so God provided them meat. He provided them quail. And it says that from, I forget the distance, from the outer, from the center of their group out each direction, it became dark. And the quails came in and landed at their feet. And God told them, gave Moses instructions how they were to take care of that. And God provided again. But God wasn't happy. He wasn't happy with their complaining and their grumbling and so on. Then there was another case in 2 Chronicles 20:22. And this is a more positive story. And it's about Jehoshaphat, and he was a good king. And here their enemies from Amnon and Moab and Mount Seir were coming together as to ambush and to fight against them. And so Jehoshaphat was scared. He says he feared. So he humbled himself, he prayed, he got the people together, and they prayed and asked God. And so God said, go ahead, it's not your battle, it's my battle. I'll take care of it. And so as they went out, Moses instructed, he got those that could sing and play instruments, and they went out ahead. And they praised, they sang and gave praises to God. You know, you're going into a battle, and you can just picture that. And your soldiers start out singing and praising God. Anyway, that's what God told them to do. And in that, God answered their prayer, and he destroyed their enemies. They didn't have to do anything, but God took care of it for them. Actually, they destroyed each other. And so the power of praise should not be underestimated. And anyway, some of this I'm getting ahead of myself, but hopefully you can put it together. So I'm going to read Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Again, as God is a lot like us because he made us like he is. God doesn't like people that are constantly grumbling, complaining. There's an atmosphere that comes with that that sort of is catching. And pretty soon everybody that's around you is negative, grumbling, feels like grumbling too, even if they don't. But on the other hand, when we are happy and we can sing and we can praise God, it also has an effect on the people that we are around. And I think that as we come in, and this writer here in the Psalms, make a joyful noise. When you come into the house of God, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I think we could do better. And I'm not being real critical because I'm just like you are. So I know I could do better too. But to come in Sunday mornings when we come to church, I think we could do a little better in displaying this, the glory of the Lord. And maybe I need to start with me. Because maybe if I would, maybe it would catch, you would catch that spirit as well. And if I don't, then you do it. So it'll catch me. Anyway, I think it does affect us. And it can affect our singing, the way we sing. So how do we come? I know we had a hard day yesterday. And I think most of us that were there went home tired. The heat does something to you in a different way. It just sort of zaps you. And so I realized that. And so with a short period of time till this morning, and so I think we're probably still tired. But at the same time, when we come into the church, when we come Sunday morning, we're going to church, what's our attitude? Well, it's just another day. We have to go to church. It's what we do. So we'll go and we'll get through it, and pretty soon we'll go home and we eat lunch, and then we'll take a nap, and then next thing you know, it's Monday morning, and we go to work, and everything's good. But what if we'd get up with a little different idea? Maybe we would think about a little bit more about God and what he has done and what he is doing and what he wants to do. And so we are going as a group meeting, and that's what we're doing. We're to praise God. We're to thank God. This is what's in our heart. For all the good things. It says, be thankful unto him and bless his name because of what he has done. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 9. Again, I'm not reading the whole chapter, starting with verse 12. Paul is writing to the church there at Corinth. And obviously they had agreed a year before that they were going to take an offering, and they were going to send an offering to the church, to the churches in Macedonia and Achaia, which Macedonia is north, on the north side of Achaia, and Achaia and Corinth are in the same area. So it's a region of Greece, basically. And so Paul's saying that you know, he's encouraging them and he's commending them because of their generosity and their willingness, and they want to do this. They want to help their brothers and sisters in Macedonia. And so they weren't able to take this offering or to receive it at that time. So it's later on now, and he tells them that in case he comes and he brings people from Macedonia along, he just wants to give them a heads up that, you know, if they don't have an offering and aren't ready to give it, it could be an embarrassment to them because he has been talking to the people in Macedonia how generous these people are and all that. And so if you don't have the gift in that, it's going to look bad. And it's going to reflect on them as well. So let's start with verse 12 through 15. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I was going to bring the NIV along, and I was going to read it in that because it really clarifies it a little bit better. So you that have the NIV, it's a little easier to understand. But there are six things that I see here in that Paul is addressing and commending them on. And the first one is in verse 12, and it talks about service. The administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints. A service, and I'm talking to us as individuals, and I'm talking to us as collective body, as a church as well. In our service is a great part of the Christian life. It's an important part of the Christian life. Being of service to who? God, our King, our Master, our Lord, the one that redeemed us. And service can entail so many different things. It's not just in physical labor. As we were working yesterday, all of us collectively working for one goal, and that is to complete the thrift store. And it's a service to each other and together to the community. And it's hopefully reaching out, I think it will do what we are intending it to do. It will reach out far. And so it's our service as a body to the community, to the world. Our display, our outworking, I guess you might say, of our Christian faith, of helping other people. And that's what Paul is commending the Corinthians here to do. This is their service in helping another fellow body. Also in verse 13, the second one is obedience. The NIV used that word, but was by the experiment of this administration, they glorify God for your professed subjection. So it's your obedience to do this. They didn't have to do that. I don't think anyone was twisting their arm that they would give this money and help this other church, but they did it willingly, their obedience, because of their love of God. And they knew this is what God wanted them to do, so they obeyed. You and I as well, in our service to God, it is, an obedience, because the Bible tells us, and this is what God wants and what Jesus tells us to do, is to help, to look out for our fellow man, and to help each other. And obedience goes a whole lot further, but in this sense, I'll leave it with that. The third one is also in verse 13. It says confession. He talks about your professed subjection. And it is confession, profession are pretty much the same thing. I realize confession, we often think of, I will tell you my weakness, I will confess my sin, and so on. And that's right. But confession can also be, I am, as my profession, what I am doing. I'm telling you I'm a Christian. And by my service and by my obedience, you can see that I'm a Christian. So I'm fleshing out my confession, my profession, in that sense, I believe is what he's talking about here. Then also in verse 13, he talks about the generosity. For your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. The active, generous church will be a grateful church. Or the active, generous person will be a grateful person as well. And as I said earlier, we would much rather be around a group or a person that is grateful than a person that is always grumbling and complaining. That's not a lot of fun. We all have plenty of things we could grumble about. We all have plenty of things we can be complain about. We really do. I think we do. But on the other hand, we have a lot more that we can be thankful for and grateful for. You know, if you were to start a list, I don't know where it would stop, really. There is no ending to the things that we should be grateful for. In verse 5, or number 5, in verse 14, he talks about the prayers, and by their prayer for you. So these people in Macedonia are praying for you here in Corinth. There are many people out there praying for us. We are praying for them. Our prayers are all ascending to God, the one who is able to put feet on those prayers and to make them happen. Prayer is an expression of God's grace, being able to pray for each other. It's not only, I think it's this Wednesday, if I remember right, in the bulletin about prayer and fasting. Or is it next one? No, I think it's this Wednesday, or whenever it is. Anyway, it's coming up again. It is, again, it's not, you could look at it as, oh man, I have to go without food, or you might decide to fast another way. You might decide, okay, today my electronic device is getting a vacation. Maybe it's something else. But anyway, whatever it is, again, it's an expression of your love to God. It's not trying to get God's attention so that he will do what we're asking, but it's simply, it's a working out of our love and our gratitude to God, really, for what he has done. We're willing to sacrifice a little bit so that we can experience his grace and his love that he wants to pour out on us. So prayers are very important, and it's a very important part of our life. As a grateful person, again expressing our gratefulness to God and to others. And then in verse 15, the last verse, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, or his indescribable gift. Now, what is that referring to? It could refer to, and probably does include, what Jesus did for us. Obviously, Jesus was a gift to us, but it can be also other things. Again, the part of being grateful of what Jesus, because of what Jesus did, we are grateful, and so we are reaching out and we are giving, whether it's money, time, or other things. Hebrews 13:15, it says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So if we're going to express our gratefulness, we're going to have to open our lips, open our mouth, right? And the Bible says that's what's in the heart comes out. And so if we have a grateful heart, that's what's going to be expressed. And if we have a negative heart, one that likes to complain and grumble all the time, then that's what's going to come out as well. But remember, an active and generous person will be a grateful person as well. There are many other scriptures that I was going to turn to, but it's time to close. That talk about gratefulness. There are so many verses that pertain to thanksgiving and being grateful, and it's just unbelievable. There are so many. So that tells me that it's very important to God that He had people write and remind us, because we need to be reminded. I need to be reminded. We get busy on our daily labor and our daily grind of things and goes on, and we get involved in our thinking and planning and so on. It's easy to see nothing but the negative. All the things I have to do, and I can't hardly do them. I don't hardly have enough time. Instead of looking, sitting, maybe just taking a step back and saying, thank you, God, for today. And God, may you bless this day and may you help me. May you delegate my time so that I can do what's important. And what's not important, if it doesn't get done, it can wait till tomorrow. If we could somehow get that in our heads. And me, first of all. Okay. I think I'm going to quit right there. And so, we have a closing song. 68 in the faith and praise, and when you find that, you can stand and you'll be dismissed. And remember to be grateful and express it. It's hard to be grateful and not show it, I guess. You can walk around with your lips sealed tight, but that's no fun either. So open them and express your gratitude for people. It's encouraging to each other. We need to express our gratitude to each other. And I'm glad for what Kevin does in mentioning people that work at the thrift store. Oh, I think that's important and it's good. So, anyway, let's pray. Thank you, God, again for today. Thank you for all that you do, all that you have done, and all that you're going to do for us. Thank you, Father, for the words of Scripture that encourage us and to tell us what we are to do. You want to hear praise and singing, gratitude and rejoicing from the lips of your people. Father, I pray that you help us to have a grateful heart, and so that it will supersede that which would tend to be negative. Help us to see the positive things in life and to reflect on those. So I pray that you would bless each person here today. Go with us as we part. Help us to rejoice as we go on our way because of the love of God and for the communion of the Holy Spirit and for the guidance in your word that will direct us and lead us in the way of righteousness and the way of truth. Thank you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we sing?